And 5, 4, 3.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is January 13th, Monday, 2020, and the time is 1:30 p.m. We're in the public meeting room of the Storey County Administration Building, and we're gathered here today for a budget work session for fiscal year 21 for the Treasurer's Office. I'm going to ask everybody to state their name and their position for purposes of the recording. We'll start up here first. Linda Merkin, Chair, Board of Supervisors.
Sandra King, Director of External Operations and County Services.
Laura Folsom, Board of Supervisors.
Lucy Martin, Auditor.
Lisa Heddens, Board of Supervisors.
Alyssa Wignall, Director of Internal Operations and Human Resources.
Lisa Markley, Assistant Auditor.
Board of External Operations Deputy for the Treasurer's Office.
Ted Rasmussen, County Treasurer.
Artie Baldwin, Finance Deputy.
Thanks, everybody. As you know, the Board of Supervisors is primarily responsible to fund mandated services. We also fund numerous other important services important to the residents of Storey County. One of the purposes of the budget work sessions is so that we obtain information to help us prioritize the best use of taxpayer funds for all those services. And it's your opportunity to explain to us and also to the residents of Storey County the value of the budget proposal that you're making. Now, I'm correct, Arna, that you're not asking for any new personnel?
No.
I think you're asking for some extra help on one line, and that's something maybe we would want to talk about when we get there, just in terms of the value that brings for residents. Mm-hmm. And then our operating budget, all offices and departments should continue to lower expenses and streamline operations whenever possible. That was out of the memo that was sent with budget directions. So if you have any increases, and I've seen somewhere places where you've justified them, please, you know, if it's above the three-year average or above the trend that you have, please let us know what you're asking for more. As you know, this board in recent years has thought it was wise to ask that you not budget unanticipated expenditures or just in case kind of things, only budget necessary. And in turn, the board is, if you come to us in the middle of a fiscal year and say, well, guess what, I don't have enough money because this unanticipated thing came up, and here's why, and here's why we couldn't anticipate it, here's our need, you know, we'll listen to that and we'll try to find that money. Probably we'll be able to do that. So I think in terms of good responsible budgeting, that's the way we need to continue working, and I believe I can speak for the entire board that that's our desire to continue to do that. We shouldn't have a problem getting through your request today, but we'll set up a call back if we need to, but I think it's pretty straightforward. What we would like to do is have you address first the expenses, or first the revenues, excuse me, and then the expenses, and if we have any questions, we'd like to just ask them at the time you're on a certain line item rather than come back at the end of your presentation, if that's all right with you. So before we start, I'm going to see if either of the other supervisors has anything that they'd like to say.
So I've been saying this at the beginning of each session, that when we met with Lisa Markley last Monday morning to look at the fiscal year 21 initial projections, if there were no change in the tax asking for fiscal year from 20 to 21, there is a $3 million spread between what we anticipate is at that date of revenues versus what all the asks are. It's about 1.6 to 1.7 in actual kind of cash that would be new revenue, and then there's some that probably could be filled in by fund balances by various different accounts. But I'm just telling everybody the same thing. You know, that changes by the time we get done.
Okay. There's nothing else then?
Your budget work sheets do indicate 50% of the year, so we're 50% of the revenues and 50% of the expenses for your year to date.
Okay.
Okay. Please go ahead.
So start with page 182. Do you want to go through what Lisa handed out?
Yes.
Okay. The first one, interest on investments. You can see we're at 117% there. Last year we budgeted a little bit low, but this budget is massively impacted by our previous treasurer entered into a bond purchasing agreement. A lot of them were multi-year, 4 or 5 year bonds. When she did so, the accounting for that was inconsistent. At times, money was taken out of that account as interest. At times, interest was reinvested into new bonds that were never noted as interest earned at the time. What we recently completed was a couple of bonds got bought out early, redeemed. So we had a large amount of money in a daily money market account where we can withdraw at any time without any penalty. What we did was we took out all money at that time that when we look at the beginning date of this investment, that should have been accounted as interest earned over the years. So was it 100? It was 104,000 that we took out there. Mm-hmm. So we took an interest amount of 104,000 out at that time, which massively, as you can see, at 350,000, that's a rather large impact for interest that wasn't necessarily accrued this year, but in working with the state auditor last spring and again this summer, we determined that that would be the best way to try to eliminate that as quickly as we could. This impacted the previous budget year as well. As you can see, the 2018-19 budget of $522,000 was a massive amount because we did this last spring, but we could not get all of that interest earned over the years out at that time because it was still invested in bonds that were active. So with those bonds redeemed, we had that money available without penalty. We could take it out. This year, for 2020-2021, we put an expected income of $375,000. Interest rates have been going down rather massively. The reason why we had that amount of income that we were able to take out was because bonds at 2% got redeemed. That means that the holder of the bond felt like that was too much money in interest that they should pay us. They could give us our money back and negotiate a cheaper bond somewhere else with that money. So from everything I have been hearing from both the bond advisor for this and other advisors, our rate is going to get worse before it gets better. Some of these, this year's income was greatly helped by some CDs and other investments that were set up last year at a point where at one point rates were above 3% for a very short time. Now, our most recent CD we sent out was 1.9 was our most recent CD. Any CDs that we get are going to be 1.9 or lower, so everything we renew this year. And they're saying that they don't expect any changes before the election, but if there is a change, it'll be another rate cut. So if you look, we have 10 months to go, 10 and a half months to go until the election with no increase foreseen and possibly another rate cut foreseen. So the last 2 years have been pretty massive interest on investment incomes, but both of them were significantly impacted by the fact that interest was banked but never accounted for approximately 6 to 7 years in this bond investment vehicle. So if we take that out, we feel pretty confident that next year will be a return to normal. We will not be seeing any influx of cash on investments that were not accounted for as earned income previously. And just based on what we are allowed to invest in that 1.5 to 1.75 interest return. We won't get that on all of our money because a lot of it does stay in our checking account here at Story County, at State Bank. We don't get that kind of rate there, so we think $375,000 may be a tiny bit low, but we would not really want to increase that much based on just we don't foresee very good return on investments this year.
So for my own edification here, how was that interest money posted instead, and then how were you able to balance on the income? I mean, you know, I'm trying to think if there's some section or at some point. I know that Tammy given some boards updates.
Artie can correct me if I'm wrong, but it appears that in the past this was kind of only accounted for once a year. And at that time, it was just kind of posted as this is what's in there now.
Is this that same account
yes.
that when you first came? Okay,
yes.
Thank you. All right, thank you.
It was, there were a couple of years where the, due to some audit questions, it was accounted for more frequently, but then that kind of, it was inconsistent, believe it or not.
But then it's reconciled in to the to satisfaction of the state auditor. That's
yes.
the important
to our benefit.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
You took a lot of time in doing that and got that taken care of, and we appreciate that. So, yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
So my question then is, is $400,000 for the current year out of range since you're already at $350,000? I mean, I think it's
We're able to come up with this, yeah, unexpectedly. So I think if we're doing the re-estimated budget, I think we could move that to 400 6 months, possibly even 425 for this year. 425 would probably be fine for that now. Unexpected. Thank you, Lisa. I kind of.
Oh, I told you I was going to ask him.
That's good.
425 then is what
you're. Yeah, for the 2020.
Re-estimation.
Okay. You don't get any
donuts
still?
No donuts ever.
No. What's your threshold on that one?
No carbs for you.
Yeah. Rick never put a threshold. He just said if it's higher, I get donuts. He didn't really say higher than one. Or how many donuts. But like some of those raffles, must be present to win.
Yeah.
So I guess.
Next.
The district court fees went down. We just aren't seeing as many of those. They've kind of just a decrease. General basic overpayment. It's really tough to estimate this. This is where if it's an overpayment of $5 or less, we don't cut a refund check. We've just kept that pretty consistently at $400. Miscellaneous, again, very, very hard to predict, and it's a small amount, so we just kept it at $100. Auto registration fees, we kept at $640,000. That one, we're not asking the state for a rate increase yet on those, but we were just doing research, and the last time our auto registration fees increased, I saw it was 1989. They went from 25 cents to a dollar in 1989, so 40 years ago.
Wow.
When the treasurers were able to research and find that, we did mention that... that we might ask for that in the future, but we're going to keep that at 640 for now. As Lisa has that at 52%, we could see it go up a little, but really December kind of tends to be a big month because a lot of the farmers have a lot of their stuff set to renew in December, so we feel pretty good about 640. Auto use tax fees. That is that's another one that it's just all based on sales. It's tough to predict. If the economy goes well, that does well. If the economy doesn't, that doesn't. It's kind of tough to know how many sales. It's this one, our $25 fee, included in these steps too.
The 24, that's where
it changed
the 23 to
$19. Oh, it was the use tax fees, not the registration.
Yes.
Oh. One was the registration. That was 93. We're just debating whether the state helped us out 40 years ago or 50 years ago for increasing these. Where is the title? Oh, okay. So the auto registration fees may be impacted. We are proposing legislation as a state treasurer's office, and it's one of the ISAC priorities to increase the titling fees, which is under the auto registration, when you get a new title from $25 to, or from $5 to $7.50. That one, the last time it was changed was 1991. It's been 28 years since that one has been increased. So we're asking that be increased $2.50. And as part of that, we are going to say that people will be able to title a vehicle in any county. They won't only be able to title a vehicle in the county of residence. So with that, depending upon the way things work, we could see an increase in revenue as we get $2.50 more. But with this titling in any county, we could see our residents taking their title to other counties to get titled, and they would pay the fees to that county. They could take the different, we're trying to work with the dealers to make this work for everyone, but we could see dealers change their pattern of where they, right now a dealer has to send a title to wherever that person resides. That makes it very easy to predict the amount of titles that you have based on your population. If, for instance, you could take a title anywhere, we're pretty confident that multiple dealers within Story County would send all of their titles to us, no matter where the person resided, who purchased the car resides. But they will not be able to do that with electronic titling. And electronic titling is set to go in the next 2 months, maybe. We're hoping that electronic titling is ready to go before the session ends, so we have a better idea of this. If you buy a car from a dealer, the dealer will be able to use their electronic titling. They will then send that back to your county of residence. If it's a paper title, they would be allowed to send it wherever they want. That's the way the current legislative proposal has started. I'm sure Lisa can speak to the fact that legislative proposals change often. And often, legislative proposals never get accepted or passed. So, if we do an adjustment, I don't know that we would even know enough anytime soon to adjust this, but we know that that amount can be impacted.
So, if I buy a car in Sierra Grande County, and then are they going to issue me a title, but do my plates I still bring come to you to get Story County plates?
Plates might not have counties on them anymore.
Oh, wow.
It might be it's an interesting
shot.
Yeah, it's got some impacts up and downstream. Okay.
How will I yell at out of towners if I don't know?
Okay. They'll be driving around on their street.
Well, you and I had talked there when we met earlier. We had talked about the whole concept of how do you do that? How do you have every county's plates on hand?
Okay. Yeah,
99 county plates. Just if we had 10, you're looking at almost 1,000 extra plates just on hand, and you know we could have. The very unpopular green plates right now, we could get 10 plates now from Appanoose County, and we would still have 10 plates from Appanoose County 10 years from now when they switch to a different plate. So That's a good possibility. The idea for this is with so many internet car sales, online car sales, other car sales, if you want to buy a car and the person is in Cerro Gordo County, you drive to Cerro Gordo, you buy the car, go right to the courthouse together, sign the title over, and you're done. And then when you come back here, you don't find out that the person actually filled out the title incorrectly, and you have to send them back a request for a new title and a lot of paperwork that they have to sign and mail back to you. We hear, oh, I don't even know who this person is. I just saw them on Facebook, met them in a parking lot of Target and bought this car. I don't know how much this will help that specifically, because I think a lot of these happen after hours and weekends, but the idea is to make it simpler for people. The impacts of it, though, like you say, the license plate's one of the very big ones. It's tough to tell, but that number could be affected. And then our biggest concern would be that we get in dealers from outside the county that decide to send us all their title work. Then we would be talking about staffing changes, Linda. If we had Bob Brown and Carl Chevrolet send us every single title they got through their dealership, we would be needing more people in a hurry. So, any other questions on that? That's a very big maybe question mark. But both the dealers and the treasurers would like to see some changes, so there's a good chance that we'll come out of this session with something different. It might not be that big or impactful, but it doesn't look like anybody's going to be happy with no change. Well, currently there are plates that have spots for decals of nonprofits if yours don't, meet like the DNR or some of the others. So maybe at the bottom you'll just have to come into our office and we'll hand you a Story County sticker.
If you're interested in having a call back.
So sorry.
And even if, like I say, even if the legislation passes, we won't know until a few months goes through how big of an impact it'll be. People might not change at all. The Red Sair motor vehicle fees, we don't really anticipate any change. Those have been right around that number for a few years. Tax sale fees, we expect similar. Just for a heads up, the tax sale doesn't occur until June. That's why that's so low. Tax statement fee, again, we don't expect that to be too high. We just kept it at 300 like in years past. And then the NSF check charge, that was just kind of, again, it's been around that $1,000 mark, so we kept it at $1,000. So, any questions on revenues?
Good.
All right. So if we go to expenditures, how do you guys like to do this? I know a lot of these are
skip the salaries and
skip all salaries,
taxes, and go down to office supplies, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Middle of page 184, office supplies.
Yep. So office supplies, we have at $7,500. We're right there halfway to it this year. So we feel pretty good about that being our estimated budget. 18-19, it was a little low, but we've seen some increases in costs. So we feel pretty good about $7,500. Postage and mailing, this is again tough to estimate, because on airs we just have to mail what we mail, a lot of our renewals, you can never tell how many people are going to come in versus how many people are going to do it online. So if we get more online, we have to mail more or mail them in. But we're pretty confident in that one. Communication services, we've cut that one down. Our understanding from the IT communication was that that was going to be less for everybody for communication, so we've cut that.
Yeah, and I've just been based, I mean, a lot of departments where you're at 50% of the years, we're trending, so it should be about right.
Yeah. Education and training, we've kept that at 1500. A lot of the ISAC stuff is in the spring, especially for the treasurer's school. It's in May, so that's why that one's kind of, it appears to be backloaded at this point, because most of our treasurer's school is our big expense, and that's in May every year. Renewal notices, that one we might see a little increase. That's why that went up in postage with our carrier. Office equipment and furniture. So this one, we put that at 1500, or we left that at 1500, and we put next year's at 2000. We want to do a slight remodel with our counter. We want to lower one more counter for lower access for a couple reasons. We are ADA compliant with our one counter, and that's all we have. But when there's a line, often people in wheelchairs or with issues just go to the first spot. They don't want to wait to sit down at that low desk. So we are trying to work with facilities to get another lower desk. We hope to have that in soon, but it might not happen until the summer because we aren't moving very quickly on that. So we have 1500 in there now. We have 2000 for next year just in case. That is one that could probably be estimated down if we don't see anything happen. So elected officers, statutory deputies. So now we're cut all the way down to seasonal part-time.
Never done that before,
No. How far down is that?
That's at the top of page 185.
At the very top?
Second line.
Okay, extra help. We added this for a couple of reasons. We've never been over, like, we haven't had to do overtime at all for property taxes as yet. But we've been pretty much pushed to capacity at property tax time. And with the uncertainty with the titling anywhere, if we were to see a big increase in titling, we think we could absorb it for a while, but we know during September with property taxes it would be more than we could take. So this extra help part-time would be for a part-time person during September to just work on property tax mail. The majority of our property tax comes in the mail, so it'd be nice to have an extra person back there to keeping ahead of it. This is one that is new. We're doing it now, so it's budgeted, because last year we kind of brought it up because the blackout plates happened right during property tax season, which is what caused us to have some insane lines down there in the office. And when I talked to Alyssa about putting that in, she said it'd be kind of a long process because you've never budgeted for it, since it was not even a line item at the time. It was it didn't exist, so it'd make the process longer. So right now, based on the legislation that's passed, we want to have it included and have the line item there. If we come out of the session with little to no change in legislation, it could be amended and be eliminated. If we come out with a changed process, but we don't know the impact, we'd be working through We would expect a July 1 probably implementation if there is changes. We would work through July, and then by August we would hope to know whether we would need to do that, and then we could possibly remove it from the budget right after September. But we would definitely like to keep that in the budget until we know more.
Just as a note, if you're looking at the timing, you have to post and the pre-employment, so we're a month prior to when you want that person to start.
So we would have to post by August 1?
I mean, by the time you post, you have to post a minimum of 10 days, and then you've got the pre-employment testing that we have to do.
Okay.
The background check, the drug screen. I mean, it takes a few weeks. I know we had talked when you did this, you needed to go to the board, and then you had that on top of that.
Yeah.
So it was past the point of that you actually needed that staff there. So just keep that in mind. I mean, you just can't wait until 2 weeks before you need the staff member,
mm-hmm.
the temporary help there.
And that's what, once we got through the budget session, we were going to try to create a job description now and have it ready in case we ever needed it.
For the posting or whatever.
So just...
And they used to have temporary help. How many years ago did they?
Yeah, back in the early 2000s, there was extra help in the plan. Jane came back there for a while, too, after she left to come in and meet.
So that you've had it in the past quite a while, because I remember having.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
So our goal would be to not use it, but we want to be prepared if there are
changes. Anybody have problems with leaving it in?
With what?
Do you have problems? Does anybody have problems with leaving it in, knowing it's
done? Oh, no, I don't have any problems.
Okay.
No, I mean, there are $191,000 to the good on projected revenue anyway, so... Now you can't spend that.
Bonuses, all right. So then we can jump down to office supplies. In 18-19, that was $3,500, and we ended up over budget, so we've actually lowered the last couple of years and gone back down to $3,000. That one, office supplies for both, we feel good about both the projections, but we are in the midst of having all of our stampers wear out. And it's surprising how expensive stampers are. They have not been hurting.
Same conversation.
So
I can send you some specs that I had from our conversation.
Awesome.
But yeah, they're like $500 to $600 a piece.
The big stampers?
The digital ones, yeah.
We're finding them cheaper. The ones that we want to replace are about $75.
Okay. These are like,
Oh. These are just received, paid.
Hand stamps, yeah. I'm talking about.
So we feel like we'll be good budget-wise, but that may be a... if we were to see a one where we're bumping right up against it, it'd be that. It wouldn't be... a massive change, but we might need a little extra in that.
Ted, I'd like to go back up under employees' insurances, and I'm looking at Alyssa here a little bit, but it shows only a 4.99% increase in employee insurances. And so I just want to check here because we should be so lucky to only have a 5% increase in insurance.
There's currently enrolled, probably last fiscal year, there was somebody that was enrolled in the insurance. And as a snapshot right now, we have new employees that did not take the insurance. That's why there's only 4.99.
Okay.
So it's going to fluctuate every year. What we do for budgeting purposes, we look on, okay, how many do we have enrolled?
We're
and then take an increase.
Current enrollee.
Current
enrollee.
Okay.
And then he had two new staff members start at the beginning of the fiscal year. And I don't know if they didn't.
One did not. I don't know the other one.
Well, I just felt I needed to ask about that since it's quite a bit lower than in the other department anticipated. Thank you. Okay, let's go on. Thanks.
Okay, legal notices. This we lowered down from $3,500 to $3,200. Again, it's tough to know what that'll end up being, but there are some things that we're required by law to send out, so we need to make sure that that budget is there if we have it. Bank transactions, that one is a little bit maybe high based on our 6 months, but...
So we went to cash management, too.
We're
in the transition of getting new bills. I don't really know for sure what they will be.
We aren't comfortable bringing it down yet.
Yeah.
State Bank just kind of changed the process on us. Marketing. Our marketing budget is primarily just reminders that property taxes are due. So we run some radio spots. This year we might do an ad in the newspaper or something, just a big reminder. I don't know if it will help at all or not, but one of the biggest days for property taxes to be paid is the first day of the month after they're due. It can be counted on. I think after 1 year, I've learned that much. So if you can remind people, that's what our marketing budget's for. Postage and mailing. We do all of our major mailing in August. That's why we're so far at the percentage there at 86%. This one changed last year. As you can see, it used to be 4,000 prior to last year. Last year, we just changed this to make it be more accurate. So this is primarily our postage for the property tax statements. Employee mileage and expenses. We have that at 200. I don't expect to be driving a lot, so I think we're okay with 200. And then communication services here, we took this down as well, just like we did the other communication services. Our last one, tax statement prep. This is where if you look at the 19 budget, it was 18,000. And, previously the postage was 4,000 in 19. This is where we did a better job of accounting for how tax statements were paid for. So, this one we lowered down from 8,000 to 6,900 because we've paid that off and we won't pay it again this year. So that pretty much is 100% of the budget. We know for a fact that's what it will cost. Next year we expect it to be pretty much the same.
Did you like that new company?
Yes, worked very well. So that we did switch providers for that. We went with a company called the Master's Touch. The assessor's office also is using them. With it, people will now be able to sign up to have a verified email, receive their property tax statements. I have no idea the impact on that. It'd be great if 1,000 people signed up, because that's a lot of postage that would be eliminated. I haven't even asked them yet. I figured when we start our discussions on next year's statement, we'd see how many. But the great thing is if they sign up for their assessments, then they can sign up for their property taxes as well. So they could sign up for both at once. And I think Wayne had nothing but good things to say about their interactions with them too. So we're very pleased we made that switch. Education and training. We did 2,500, expecting that maybe some of the ISAC events and other things we might send more staff to. Right now, we just haven't seen much for appropriate coursework offered for staff at a lot of the events. It's mostly just geared towards leadership, so we haven't seen the up in attendance as expected, so that one we took down to 2,000. Equipment rent and maintenance, that one, it looks like we're on par to be a little bit over there, but it should be close enough. That one, it shouldn't change, so maybe we should just bid a little, because that we pay monthly, right?
Yeah, but it's also dependent on how many
cents
per page. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that one we're fine with. And then dues and memberships. I think this is for it's for NACO, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we budget for.
NACO, district dues.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So any questions on expenses?
None.
No, I don't.
You're excited. Yeah. Good job, guys.
Thank you for ending up with a positive.
We didn't
have to. When I'm re-estimating, I'm not sure.
I'm
just saying.
If we amend something, I hear Lisa talking. If interest rates stable, then we could see an increase in investment on our income investment. Right now, it just is surprising how quickly they fell. Last year in February, they were expecting them to be above 3% for the year, and we ended the year at about 1.8 average, and they're not stopping on their downward turn. Hopefully they stop soon, but I'm not nearly as confident as I was last August about investment income being much higher. I can't think of the thing. It's tough to get money when you can't get it.
Understand that when I say I want to reestimate some revenue, the auto registration that Lori and I were just talking about for the current year, nobody holds you to those revenues. It's for the purpose of seeing where we really think we're going to be when it comes to year end. And we will, in April, look at officially amending. And I'm not going to... I'm not going to amend any revenue until we feel pretty comfortable that's what we're going to get.
That's the registration fees.
Yeah, I think that's going to come in this year $665. I don't think $640 is where it's going to stay. But for the current year re-estimation, but nobody holds you to that as far as if you bring in more than that, you're in trouble, because that's not the way it is. Mm-hmm. It's just for overall over big picture.
Well, when the state legislature gives us a big increase, when they take us from $1 to $2, we'll be looking really good.
Right, unless they strip all of them out of the county and then you don't have any.
You better be knocking on wood.
Right.
The only other thing I have to say is I want to thank Lisa and Lucy and the auditor's office for, they make this whole process incredibly simple. So I want to thank them for all the work they put in. I know it's not simple, so I know that there's a lot of work going on before things get to us. So thank you for that, Lisa, Lucy, everybody else in the auditor's office, and thank you guys for being very welcoming and just kind of, I guess, easy to work with on this budget. I think it's a good process to do it, and I'm looking forward to getting better at it as we go forward. And
well, just so you know, they didn't even need me really this year. They had it all figured out when they said, "Will you come down and sit with us and talk to us about this?" They had it all figured out. They just wanted affirmation. Yeah,
a cheerleader.
Cheerleader.
We wanted a cheerleader.
So it looks very good to me. Good projections. They're in line with what you've been doing, and changes you see coming. So,
and I appreciate your comments of really trying to get the actual dollars in there, just really working with your auditors and stuff, and putting, inserting those where they're.
Oh, the interest rate for those years. Yeah, that's good to have
that cleared up.
That was.
We have uncovered every surprise that there is to come.
And
from
then
that.
They'll call and say, guess what? We have another surprise.
This last one, we're very confident that this last December was just one last Christmas present for us.
to keep on giving.
And, that extra income, I'm sure, will be put to incredible use.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.